The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ, born this night that we might live. Amen. Well, again, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I want to start by telling you all a couple things about myself that some of you know and some of you may not. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and I spent a lot of my time playing ice hockey and skiing when I was a kid. They were real passions of mine. But I wasn't quite good enough to play real hockey, say in college up in the Northeast where I was from, so I went south and managed to play a little college hockey because I went south. But because I went south, I completely lost touch with skiing. When college was over, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. So I decided what I really wanted to do was ski. So I got in the car in the fall after graduating from college, and I drove to Tahoe, and I got a job. It wasn't quite that easy. I didn't really have any marketable skills. So first, over the summer, I went to bartending school, which my parents were very supportive of, given that they'd paid for my college education. Dad actually said that he was looking forward to parents' weekend at bartending school. He thought that would be a pretty good time. And when I left the house to drive west, I had nowhere to live, no job, but I got in the car, drove to Carson City, Nevada, and I had some people I knew a little bit who lived there. And it's too bad I didn't know them better, because while I was still stuck living with them, they had their first child. It was quite an adventure. I'm sure anyone out here who has had a first child would love to have had a near stranger living in the house with them. Anyway, eventually I got a job. I tended bar and skied. I was doing the true ski bum thing. And having a ball. A lot of friends, having a good time. Then Christmas rolled around. It was the first Christmas I ever spent without my family. And it was a little lonely, but not entirely so, because there was a There's a real network of people out there who work the mountains, either on bars or putting chairs under people's rear ends as they go up the hill. And so we hung out a lot together, and we gathered for Christmas. And one of the things I really remember about that Christmas is some of the friends we had who were from down under. See, they came from Australia on their summer break to ski in America. Because, of course, it's now summer down there. Just turned summer this week. In fact, out of curiosity, when I was putting this together, I checked the weather in Melbourne today. Well, Christmas, high of 80. It's different. It is, in so many ways, upside down. They said that they really, a more typical day for them at Christmas would be to go to the beach. It's upside down. Christmas is upside down. But the truth is, that's what the story's about, isn't it? That's what Christmas is about. That's what God incarnate, God made one of us, that's what it's about. It's about the world being turned upside down. And it starts with Jesus' mother, Mary. You recall the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, "Greetings." And she ponders what it is that greeting might be. She doesn't say, "Great idea," first thing. He says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." He says, Mary pondered this greeting. But eventually, after Gabriel told her what was going to happen, she accepted it. And shortly thereafter, went to see her cousin Elizabeth, pregnant with John, who would grow up to be the baptizer. And as she talked to Elizabeth, she said words which are presented in Scripture truly as song. We've talked about this. And she started turning the whole thing upside down in these words right then, right there, when Jesus was just barely in the womb. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on His lowly servant." God has looked with favor on her, but I promise you, as an unwed, pregnant woman, she would not have been looked on well by the rest of the world. "From this day, all generations will call me blessed," she went on. "The Almighty has done great things for me and holy in His name." Again, no one would call her blessed at this time and in her state. She went on, "He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown the strength of His arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty." Now it's getting upside down. The proud, the mighty, and the rich are in trouble. The lowly and the hungry, these folks have hope. This is a stark contrast to the way the world works now and then. This is upside down. Now think about the actual story, the birth narrative that we're thinking about here tonight, that we've heard. Start with Mary again. Think about her position. This wasn't about a loving family values style thing. This was a teenage unwed mother, expectant in a most unconventional and upside down way. The announcement of this birth by the angels came not through the official government-sanctioned channels the way one would expect. It was delivered in song by angels. This is not how one got the word out. And the news came to the shepherds, not to the powerful and religious elite, that the Messiah was here. It came to shepherds. These folks were held in low esteem in those days. They were assumed to lead shiftless lives. They would hardly have been considered trustworthy bearers of an important message. And yet they were the first to hear, the first to see. It's still upside down. What about moving along? What about the Magi? The star? The message of the Messiah was delivered not to biblical scholars, but to pagans, astronomers, Easterners. These weren't Jews. These weren't people anywhere near. They were Gentiles. But they got the word. And they came upside down. Think simply about the manger. Now, I tend to associate manger with Jesus, and many of you probably do too, but the manger is a feed trough. And it might be more effective for us to say, and then Mary laid him in a feeding trough, a cattle trough. Has more power to me than manger. Sounds like a lovely Jesus thing. But the manger. What does it mean to proclaim that Christ was born in a barn? What does that mean to the church? To the people outside the church? Would we believe it if the news came to us that a newborn Savior was born in a homeless shelter or truck stop? Would that make sense? That's not where the Messiah is going to come. But here it is in the Gospel Witness. The Savior of the world, the Word incarnate, God made man, takes on human flesh in this most upside down way. What an appropriate beginning for the one who taught that in God's good kingdom the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What an appropriate beginning for the Messiah, who would come not with the might and power of the military, as many of the Jews believed, but would come with the might and power of love. The whole thing was upside down. Now, the Gospels don't tell us a lot about Jesus' childhood. They move pretty quickly from his birth to his baptism as an adult and on to his ministry. But is what's commonly considered his inaugural sermon he gave at the synagogue in Nazareth, presumably his family synagogue, gave a sermon. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And the passage that he read as he prepared for his first sermon, the passage that he read harkens back to the song of Mary before he's born. In his first sermon, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." And he tells them, "In your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." This is not the way the world works. This is upside down. Good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind. The oppressed are free. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And this nature of Jesus' ministry and being in person, being upside down, continues throughout the New Testament. Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, talking to the people of that church, writes, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, but not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are." Even in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, which follows right after the Gospels and is talking about describes the very, very, very beginning of the church in its infancy. In the book of Acts, there were some Jews who went to the authorities to complain about these new followers of Jesus, saying, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also." We don't want people who are going to turn things upside down, and our Messiah surely won't do that. But he did, didn't he? So why are we here? Are we here simply to celebrate something that happened? Or are we here to remember what that means? And I would argue the latter. That we are here to consider and to celebrate the implications of that thing that happened. Because the implications continue. The birth of a child halfway around the world requires nothing of us, really. The birth of the Messiah requires everything of us. I'm going to close with a story I heard in the news this week. It's about a youth group. Small church established really a risky ministry in order, frankly, to respond to these requirements that come with the birth of the Messiah. A couple of interesting things about this particular ministry. First, it involves dressing up like angels. They wore wings, they wore long white robes, and then they use a silver paint to cover all of their skin and their hair in silver. Second, the second interesting thing about this little youth group activity is that it's from a church in Juarez, Mexico. Now, you've heard of this place. War between drug cartels rage in Juarez, Mexico. On average, 5 to 6 bodies show up on the street every day, and that's down from 10 last year. The ministry of this youth group is a ministry of proclamation. In fact, they call themselves messenger angels, which is really, if you recall, what angels are in Scripture. They're not there to save us from getting into car accidents. They are messengers from God. And that's what these youth are doing, is bringing messages to this city that is in ravages because of drugs. They take up positions around the city in their angel garb, and they establish themselves as living statues. Perhaps some of you have seen these in cities. I know I saw some in New York just a week ago, and I was up there, where people sit absolutely perfectly still, and you swear they're a statue. And if you're really good, you throw some money in the basket. Well, that's actually where the idea for this group came. The youth minister at this church had seen these living statues. And the children, the youth in this group, take on this appearance. They stand on chairs with long white robes so they look like giants. And they hold signs. And the signs are where it gets risky. Signs say things like, "Assassin, repent. Christ loves you. Corrupt police, seek God. Enough, kidnapper. Look for God." This is risky business in a place where people will kill somebody for looking the wrong way. Every day they are out there, they are risking their life in order to follow the gospel and turn that world of theirs upside down. To do something powerful, to defeat the evil. They're risking their life for that baby. That baby in the feed trough. Now, it's not likely that your call in response to the baby is to risk your life, but maybe it is. Your call and my call and everyone else's call is likely to be different, but the bottom line is this. When Christmas is over, we put away the manger. And when we do so, we have a choice. We can walk away from the requirements that baby has laid on our shoulders each and every year. Or we can accept that burden and walk toward the light. That light which is the baby, the Christ, the Messiah, the living God. Or as Isaiah puts it, the living God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God has turned the world upside down. We're called to stand with Him. Amen.